Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Before he left, Paul warned the church leaders at Ephesus of false teachers that would cause people to speak evil of the gospel. They preach a doctrine of covetousness and merchandise that totally misrepresents the name of Jesus. They preach with the spirit of Antichrist, which is the father of the many heresies that the church is facing today. Thankfully, the Lord gives ears to hear what the true Spirit is saying to us today. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 20 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 25 through 38.
How about Paul? A little bit more. What are some of the characteristics of a false teacher or prophet according to the Apostle Paul? 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to," notice, "seducing spirits and doctrines of devil." They're very, very seductive. "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats." So one of the doctrines that was being rebuked there was asceticism. And that is alive and well today. Forbidding to marry, forbidding to abstain from certain foods. When the gospel becomes a matter of your diet, it's the false gospel. Okay? "Which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." And so Paul here was speaking of a future that in some respects had already arrived, and it's most certainly with us today. There's nothing new under the sun. Any heresy that you and I are dealing with today is not something that just happened in the past 5 years or 10 years. The very grandfather of all of these heresies has always been around, but it's been more so since Paul and the apostles and Jesus ascended up and went into heaven. And the difference is that now it's coming at you and me at the speed of internet, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. False teachers or false prophets will, notice this, says depart from the faith. That word depart means they will be apostates. They will deny the essential doctrines of Christianity, the triune nature of God or the Godhead, the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ, the person and work of the Holy Ghost, creation, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the actual second coming of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom upon the earth. These are just a few of the foundational truths that any cult or false teacher or false religious system or false prophet will deny. When Paul later on is writing to Timothy, he said in chapter 6, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." Godliness and holiness is part of the gospel. Our God is holy. He calls us to be holy. Don't believe a gospel that says you can, after you receive Christ, you can now live however you want. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. "What shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid." That's a misunderstanding of the gospel. He says, no, if anyone does not teach that, they are proud, they know nothing. They want you to think that they know a lot more than they know, but it doesn't take much if you know nothing. "They dote about questions and strifes of words." They hanker on harping little words, little nuances, "whereof comes the net result is envy, strife, evil surmisings." They cause you to be suspicious of the truth. "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth." Notice, "supposing or teaching that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself." Now, when it comes to the word heresy in the Bible, the Greek word can be used in two ways. It can describe a sect, S-E-C-T, or a group that just has a certain preference, okay? But it's also used in a bad way, one that causes division or schism, or it is that it's not based on truth. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians 11:19, he takes the church to task for having heresies among them, heresies that led to schisms within the body. He says here, those kind of individuals are characterized by spiritual pride, and they tend to focus on discussions and debating about words, which lead to strife instead of unity, ungodliness instead of godliness. Now, so you understand, there is, if I may say, a good context for heresy, just seeing things different. For example, when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians, he was blessed. They were saved. They were born again. They were filled with the Spirit. But when Paul wrote to them, he says, there's something that is really troubling to me. Now, I'm paraphrasing this, but he says, I don't want there to be any divisions among you. I want you to be perfectly joined together in the same mind, because it's been told me by the house of Chloe that some of you are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Aren't you glad that people don't follow that anymore? Oh, I'm of this, I'm of that. That's the same thing. He said, now these are people that are making their little group the whole group. Their little group the standard by which all other groups are tested. The one standard that we have is what? The Word of God. And within the Word of God, there can be differences. Okay, there's different expressions of worship. Let me say something to you. Just because someone worships the Lord from their heart a little bit differently than you, don't make the mistake of calling them a heretic. Just because someone may have a different view from you and I about the timing of the taking away of the church doesn't make them a heretic. Okay? A heretic, in a bad sense, is someone who denies the essentials of the Christian faith and comes up with this novel doctrine. For example, years ago, there was a great cult out of Ohio called the Way International. The leader of the Way International was Victor Paul Werwell, and he wrote a book called Jesus Christ is Not God, and he sought to teach that Jesus Christ was not God. Well, a lot of people were swept away with his clever, demonically clever twisting of scriptures. That's a heretic, okay? Nobody in the body of Christ, the genuine body of Christ, is going to deny the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. Nobody will. Now, they may dance. Yeah, they might dance. And you might think, well, that's weird, but that doesn't mean that it's not biblical. It just means that they dance. So you understand that. We want to make sure that we have a proper understanding of that word heresy. That means that there's room for differences, but not from the foundational core values of what we believe and why we believe it, okay? So, but these individuals are usually very materialistic, insisting that godliness always results in financial gain. They twist biblical principles about giving so that you feel guilty or the pressure to give to their ministry. Do you think that it happens? Well, are we consistent? Jesus said it. Paul said it. What about Peter? Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. They will renounce the character of the Lord. They're again, an unbiblical doctrine regarding the person of Jesus Christ. And they will bring upon themselves, again, swift destruction. Why? Because they heard the truth and do not want to receive it. And many, this is sad, many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's frightening, isn't it? The influence of someone that is wrong. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness, greed, extortion, bing, There we go again. Shall they with feigned words, language shaped to deceive, they will make merchandise of you. So again, false prophet, false teacher will teach damnable heresies, damnable doctrines about the person of Jesus Christ. They will profess to be slaves of God, but they will deny him by their lavish, shameful, immoral lives that will cause people to disregard the truth because everything at the end of the day somehow revolves around your wallet. Does that sound familiar to you at all? I'm not mentioning a single name. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay? That's one. That's from without smuggling their way in. Then in verse 30, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So now this is an inside job. Huh? When Paul wrote to the church of Rome, he said in chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, now I beseech you, brethren, you, mark them which cause divisions, dissensions, factions, separations. That's what they do. They cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And so they serve themselves. They do not serve Christ. They are very, very articulate. They're great speakers. Paul says, when I came to you, I didn't come with great words of man's wisdom. I came to you wanting to that you would know the power of God, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, an example of an individual who has an inside job. Let me give you one example in the Old Testament, Absalom. Absalom and David did not have a good relationship. And I'm not intending to hit a sore wound with any of you who may be having a bad relationship with a sibling or with a child right now. But Absalom had this resentment in his heart against his father. And he basically told him, he go, listen, I'll become your counselor. And in the process of drawing away some of David's closest advisors, he turned the heart of the people away from David and towards himself, and they in turn proclaimed him as king when the rightful king was who? David. But this guy was a guy who drew away disciples after him. I mentioned Diotrephes. He's mentioned in 3 John. It says of him that he loved to have the preeminence. He loved to have the control of the church. How many of you know that the preeminence within the church, the prominence within the church, and the control of the church belongs to Jesus Christ alone? Now, he appoints under-shepherds and men who are accountable to him. But he is the one who is to be prominent and preeminent. John tells us that Diotrephes' personal pride led him to cut off relations with the apostle, ignore the apostle's authority. He slandered John. He slandered other leaders with malicious words. He refused to welcome other leaders into the church, and he excommunicated any who challenged his authority. We read about in Acts chapter 5, men like Thaddeus and Judas of Galilee, who at one time drew many people after them, but eventually they dispersed and were brought to nothing. How does that happen? I'll tell you one reason why it happens. If you and I are not in the Word of God and in prayer every day, you will not be able to have the discernment to know what the truth is of God. You need to know this. You need to know this. Amen? All right, that's one of the reasons why, not the only reason, why when we gather together, we're kind of like having a group Bible study class so that we might know what the Bible teaches, not what Ray Viola teaches, what the Bible teaches, what the Bible means by comparing Scripture with Scripture. And that's how you know, oh, this is not right. This is not of the Lord. That's fraudulent. That's not true. How? By comparing it with what? Scripture. John the Apostle writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time, or the age between the first and the second coming. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. Notice, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So many antichrists were once a part, visibly a part of the true church, but having rejected it and departed from it, they showed that they never really belonged to it. I never knew you, Jesus says to apostates. Not to those who fail. He didn't say that to Peter. He doesn't say that to his children. It's amazing to me how many false prophets and teachers began cults, and they were at one time a part of the true body of Christ. And then they got some new revelation, different revelation, novel revelation, contrary to the Word of God. False teachers, again, will deny the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ. That's the spirit of Antichrist. In the last days, it's not the spirit of anti-Mohammed. It's not the spirit of anti-Krishna. It's the spirit of Antichrist, anti-Messiah, which means what? You and I are a target for the enemy. And we need to take heed. So then Paul says, watch and remember, I've warned you for 3 years with tears. It broke his heart. And it is heartbreaking for any shepherd to hear people that get trapped into these splinter cult-like groups. That's why, saints, it is so important. Please hear me. It's so important that we as the church, gather together like we're doing today in the body of Christ. Because you can get isolated. When you're watching online, unless you have a valid reason for watching online, you're isolating yourself. We need to be gathering together and exhorting one another, and so much the more, what, as you see the day approaching. Amen? Paul says in Philippians 3:18, for many walk. How many times? It just breaks my heart. How many times? Jesus says many. Peter says many. Paul says many. And Paul says again, many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So then Paul says, now listen, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice it's the word of God's grace that builds us up. The gospel of what? The grace of God. Not a gospel of works. The gospel of the grace of God. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 4, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. He said that in the shadow of the cross. In other words, what he had already done was declaring the works of God. He's about to go to the cross. Jesus said, I have finished the work you gave me to do. He is the only one that could finish the work of redemption for you and for me. He finished it. He did it. He is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he shed his blood for your sin. And anybody to say that there is any other way to be saved, to be forgiven, other than by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, is preaching another gospel. How do I know? We get to heaven, thou art worthy. We're not going to say, thou art worthy, O Calvin. Thou art worthy, O Arminius. Oh, worthy, O Lord. Amen? Then he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. A true shepherd is not going to be money conscious. We're not going to be money driven. Beware of any alleged gospel that makes the connection between the gospel and your wallet. Now, there are biblical principles of stewardship. I want you to know that are very important. But a true shepherd is not going to fleece you or force you or guilt you into giving. What was the last time you gave here? And all of that stuff happens. I may not hear it from you, but I hear it from other people. I've had people come to this church and go, how do you give in this? I love it. How do you give in this church? Well, what do you mean? Well, there's a box in the back. What's that? That's for you to worship God, however you deem fit. We're here to feed. You pray, and you do as God would have you to do financially. Be a wise steward, a biblical steward. Paul says, I've coveted no man's silver or gold. He says in verse 34, I've worked with my own hands unto my necessities. Why is he saying that? Because the false teachers were demanding that you give, demanding that you tithe to them. They were demanding it. Paul said, listen, I haven't coveted anything from you. He had the right to earn his living from the gospel, and sometimes he was supported by other churches, but Paul at times supplemented his ministry by making tents. He says, I don't want to be a burden to you. I want to be a blessing to you. And then he said in verse 35, I've showed you all things. We're winding down here, beloved. How that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. You support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, now it's an unrecorded beatitude, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is kind of like similar to Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. Now, when you think of the word give, what's the first word, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Don't say it out loud. Money, right? How many of you know that it's much more than money? It includes money. How about your time? How about your possessions? It's much more to give than to receive. I used to absolutely love going out to these West Coast pastors' conferences in the early Jesus movement days, and Pastor Chuck would stand up there with this big smile and that baritone voice, and he would say, well, you know, fellas, you can never outgive God. And it was never about giving to him, giving to the church. He was about teaching us, you feed sheep, and you give to them, and you bless them, and you encourage them, and you teach them what it means to follow me. It's more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you have found that out in your own life, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. I've had enough birthdays. Now on my birthday, I want to bless others. I don't know how many, I don't need another tie. Whatever. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You can never, beloved, trust the Lord. You can never outgive God. Try it. Not to get wealthy. Just try it. I want us to be a congregation of godly givers. Given, it shall be given unto you. And so, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so he spoke these things, he kneeled down and he prayed, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him by ship. So, I don't know what was on your heart or mind when you came in here today, where you are in your course, where you are in your race, but in the providence of God, God has us here today for a reason. And so pray, Lord, how does this apply to me? I would say this. Paul commended the Bereans because they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Be a Berean. Be discerning. But realize that there are areas within the legitimate body of Christ where we see through a glass darkly. When will we get it right, face to face, when we are there with him? I trust that God would use his word today to encourage you. I don't want you to be gullible. I don't want you to be suspicious. I do not want you, God forbid, to be judging another man's servant. But I don't want you to be wise. I do want you to be alert. And I do want you to know what the Bible teaches, what we believe, why we believe it. And the bottom line is that the Word of God is the final authority. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.